Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning, everyone. This is Vicki Dobbs coming to you live with Kindred Spirits. I'm the founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, encouraging you to put you at the top of your priority list, to choose you first, because hashtag you matter. You can pop on over to my website at VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. to find out more about the programs I offer and sign up for my Friday Wisdom Whispers newsletter. You'll even find a gift there, a printable journal, just for you listeners who love to take notes, record those aha moments or questions, even write down those little whispers of wisdom that float by on the wind. Love to have you join our circle. Choosing you first is not a selfish act. It's an act of self-preservation that allows you to gift the world with the best of you, not just what is left of you. And today, oh boy, am I honored and blessed to be joined by a very special guest, Sandra Ingerman. She is a world-renowned teacher, award-winning author of shamanism and shamanic practices, and has brought her down-to-earth style of teaching shamanism and medicine for the earth to thousands for over 40 years. Sandra is passionate about helping people reconnect with nature, a philosophy we both share, and in partnership with Renee Barabeau, does a weekly podcast filled with wonderful insights and information. It's called The Shaman's Cave. Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you so much, Vicki. It's such a delight to meet you.
It is. I have followed you for years, and when you said yes, my heart skipped a beat and jumped a motion ahead, and I thought, I'm just doubly blessed. And you know, we all have those times that we fall into the dark night of the soul, as you call it, and shamans do. And when I saw your book, Walking Through Darkness, I bought it and have been engaged with really remembering that, you know, we have to honor the dark as much as we do the light. So the number and intensity of the initiations that you've faced, that you've walked through, and emerged from into the light on the other side kind of blew me away, because you have been so prevalent in the forefront of the shamanic studies that I've been through. And that description of a sense of groundless territory I can relate to on such a deep level. When we lost our son, I felt disconnected and unwired and ungrounded and buried all at the same time, and the power of that grief brought my whole world to a halt. And you know, in the depths of me, I had all the tools I needed to keep moving forward, but in that moment I couldn't find the key to my toolbox. And that's something I really appreciate about your book, Walking Through Darkness, is you're offering people real life exercises and tools to keep moving.
That's right. Yeah, the key is to keep moving.
So you teach the use and practice of shamanism in your everyday life. I know most of my followers are probably familiar with the term shamanism, but for those who don't, how would you describe it for us?
Well, shamanism is an amazing practice. The practice itself is universal, and it dates back over 100,000 years. And so everybody listening to the show actually has ancestors who practice shamanism because it was practiced everywhere in the world. And the practice of shamanism was a real gift to humans. You know, humans arrived on the planet, and what do you do? How do you find food? You know, how do you find shelter? And so what happened is that these compassionate spirits from the transcendent realm, so they're beings that once had life on this planet and are diseased, but they've completely transcended. They're divine beings. They're intermediaries of God. And they started to have pity on humans. And so they started to teach the humans how to create balance between humans and nature, how to heal, how to find food, how to find plants that that healed. And so the practice has been passed on, and you have to ask, any practice that has survived over 100,000 years, I mean, what keeps it surviving that long? We don't see that many practices surviving that long. And it's really because shamanism has gotten results. It's kept people thriving and surviving through different challenging times. Now, obviously, what humans were dealing with 100,000 years ago changed over time, and so the practice of shamanism actually changed over time. It's one of the beauties of the practice is that it keeps changing with the evolving times. And so in shamanism, everything is about ceremony. Everything is about performing a ceremony, and ceremonies bring us back to a place of stability and center. And one of the common ceremonies that are performed by shamans around the world are what's called shamanic journeying. And with shamanic journeying, we all have the ability to go into an altered state of consciousness, a spiritual state of consciousness. In most shamanic cultures, a drum, a rattle, bells, bowls, didgeridoos, click sticks, things that make kind of a percussive sound, are used to help to change our brain waves so that we can drop into a deeper part of ourselves, out of the egoic part of ourselves, where we can transcend the ordinary world, the collective that we're in right now, and where we can travel to different worlds. In shamanism, it's called the lower world, the middle world, and the upper world, where there are these transcendent beings who, they come here, they volunteer themselves to help us, we can go visit them. And we can ask them questions about our life. We can ask for healing. We can ask for any kind of guidance. We can ask how we can best be in service to the planet. And so shamanic journeying is just such a wonderful tool to have, especially in the times that we're living in, because we're living in what's called the middle world in shamanism. The lower world and the upper world are the transcendent realities, and the middle world is wonderful. It's nature. It's how we enjoy nature. But we also know the challenges of living in the middle world, that we have these egos, and so the middle world is a place of earth school. It's where we learn to grow up. We learn to grow into more evolved beings. And so our egos are so strong, we can't always see the bigger picture. And the spirits, the helping spirits, it's like they're sitting in the bleachers at the best ball game ever. And they can see exactly what's happening in our lives because they're looking from a different perspective. They're looking down on us at a different perspective. And so they can go right, go left. You're getting ready to be tagged. And so it's an amazing gift, especially in the times that we're living in right now, to have these amazing helping spirits who come in the form of what we call power animals or nature beings, plants, trees, insects, fairies, elves, all kinds of beings from the nature world. And then we have teachers in human form, gods and goddesses and ancestors and mystics and people we've always respected in our lives, historical beings who we can talk to. And so the middle world is Earth School, where we learn how to see the world from a higher state of consciousness. And we have the opportunity to work with the spirits who can give us guidance on how we could move forward and how we can grow in life and help us move through some of our challenges.
I love the practice of journeying. I know just listening to you has brought me back to so many wonderful memories of times when I've been able to get out of my own way and listen to some of the voices that have better reason than mine. And I think for me, the hardest lesson for me was to really learn that it wasn't my imagination. If I want to call it that, then I learned to trust that what I was imagining was real.
Mm-hmm.
So that I didn't filter through my own experience what I was hearing, being taught, learning from the amazing beings of light that are just there to surround and love us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a beautiful gift to be able to be held in so much love. And there's, in the middle world, there's just a lot of work that we can do of communicating with nature, learning how to speak to nature, not just running up to trees and saying, heal me, hug me,
right.
You know, as a lot of people do, but actually treating nature as sentient beings. And we can really see in our culture how people are getting so species lonely. You know, people are getting chickens as pets and all kinds of animals as pets. We're species lonely. And the wonderful thing about shamanism is it teaches us how to do that middle world work, how we can actually go out and talk to the plant spirits and find out what they're volunteering to us. And that starts to bring the feeling of magic back into our life, like there's something bigger going on here. Life hasn't felt so good to me, but taking walks in nature and butterflies are landing on my shoulder while I'm thinking about certain things, and the sun shines down on me while I'm making a decision. Something bigger is going on here. I'm connected to something bigger than myself, and it feels really good because I can feel how
it also I think for me, it also gives me a sense of community that doesn't always have to be about people hanging around.
Right.
You can have community without being in a crowd.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. A community that understands silence.
Yeah. But also speaks very loudly if you listen.
Right.
You know, the talk to the rocks and conversations with the trees and even the wind that, you know, I love to say whispers sweet messages when it breezes by. And you talk about a lot of these different practices is in your book. So what prompted you to write Walking Through Darkness?
Well, there was a time, and I know that some people still have this, but it's not something that's real common in our time anymore, where elders used to rock us on their laps, and they used to tell us when darkness comes into our life, when we're starting to experience loss, when we're starting to suffer on a particular level, when we're starting to lose our health. There was always information, there was always great wisdom through storytelling of what do you do? Here's a roadmap that you can follow. And Lynn and I both felt that as two elders who have been through so many initiations through the dark night of the soul, that we both really wanted to give people a roadmap because we're living in really dark times right now. Yes, we want to be positive. We want to do our affirmations, and we want to look at the best, and we want to be in gratitude for life. We're not talking about just moving into a dark, negative space. That's not what the book is about at all. There's so much positivity in the book, and positivity is how you keep moving forward. So we really wanted to show people how you actually get through an initiation, because what we're going through on the planet today is a really big initiation where our egos are being stripped and we're being asked to embrace new values. We're being asked to step into a higher level of consciousness, to start being responsible for taking care of nature and the planet and not just use it for ourselves. And so we felt like we both developed a roadmap of how we got through our initiations and wanted to share that with people who felt stuck. And the feedback we're getting is just amazing for people who have been taken down through initiations. It's like, oh my God, somebody finally is talking to me about how to get through this.
Yes, yes. And the practices that you gift us at the end of each chapter are very easy. They're very pragmatic and yet so very powerful. And they lead to positive outcomes that when you work with this material that you've given us. And how did you come about each of these exercises and movements? Because it is very much a shamanic practice, but it's also very practical for somebody who is not quote-unquote trained in shamanism.
Right, yeah. So I taught a 7-week course called The Dark Night of the Soul Leads to the Light of the Shaman through the SHIFT Network. And it was a really powerful course because I had people who, they knew what shamanic journeying was, but they were going through the roadmap with me, and it was intense. I took everybody deeply through the roadmap. And when the course was over, I said, wow, this material is so rich. People made such big changes during this. I think I'm going to write a book. And so that same day, Lynn contacted me and said, well, do you want to write a book on darkness? So I pretty much used what I was teaching in the course. But how Lynn and I like to write, because we wrote a book before, Speaking in Nature, is we like to use the feminine way of circular teaching, where we tell metaphorical stories instead of step one, step two, step three, step four. We tell metaphorical circular stories that aren't particularly organized, but when you read them, you're taken into another world, and it stimulates something in deep in your inner landscape. And so we both chose, like we did in Speaking with Nature, to work with animals, not that this animal means, but how this animal lives in nature can be a teacher for us. So, for example, I wrote about coyote. I love coyotes.
Yeah.
But coyotes trick their prey. And one of the biggest issues about walking through the dark night of the soul is getting tricked by everybody who's telling you that they have the drug, they have the treatment, they have the machine, device to completely change your life. And that's
absolutely
not true. Yeah.
You wrote a beautiful story about coyote, and when we come back from break, I want to pick up with coyote, because not only do you talk about the trickster medicine, but you talk about the positive aspects of working with that type of medicine in your own journey. So we'll be back in a few minutes, folks. This is Vicki Dobbs talking with Sandra Ingerman and Walking Through Darkness.
It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Vicki Dobbs, and I am honored to be here talking to Sandra Ingerman, and we're talking about the book that she's written with Lynn Roberts called Walking Through Darkness. And one of the first chapters is about coyote and the trickster medicine, and so many people that I talk to look at coyote as not a good medicine to walk with, and it has both the light and the dark, as we all do, but your story is very cool, and I love the way that you point to the positive aspects of that trickster medicine, but also remind people that when they're walking through darkness, that a lot of that trickster energy can show up.
Yeah, we get desperate. We get desperate. And so somebody says, oh, have you tried this drug? Have you tried this? Have you tried that? Have you tried this? And you're desperate. You want help. And so you say yes. And if we really tapped into our intuition, if we really went inside of ourselves, and when we're in the dark night of the soul, it's very difficult because we lose somewhat a sense of trust of ourselves. But if we can tap into our intuition, it's this, for me, it's like a green light, red light. Yes, go, don't, stop. And I let all of that go because I was pretty desperate for 9 years. And then finally, I realized that I was listening to all the wrong people. I was doing everything wrong. And the positive side of that is I've learned a lot in the process, and so it was obviously part of my journey. I should stop saying it was wrong. I was on a path that twisted me away from where I really needed to be. When I finally started listening to my intuition, that was when I was led to the real help that I needed, and that was when I started getting better.
Intuition is a pretty powerful tool to keep in your box.
And and right now we're listening to too many people, including me.
Well, I think we're all bombarded by the global communication that has flooded our world in every aspect of our world, whether it's talking to a friend or listening to TV or being on your computer or it just, you know, even in my lifetime, 25, 50 years ago, you talked to people and you had local news and there was some global insight, but it was probably a week old.
Right.
Where in today's world of instant information from sources, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, otherwise, who knows from where, intuition becomes such a integral part of your own journey. Not just about who to listen to or believe, it's about tapping into what is right for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you feel intuition in your body, or is it something that, like you said, it's that red light, green light, like I go to turn left and something's telling me I need to keep going straight?
Yeah, my two greatest psychic senses is I'm clairaudient, I hear messages, and I'm clairsentient, I feel things in my body. I believe that clairsentience is actually our most evolved sense, but we live in a visual culture. This is just my bias. I just believe that the visuals are like living, it's like going to kindergarten. And then as you become more spiritually evolved, you can become more clairsentient, where you're not so dependent on what you're seeing. You become more dependent on what you're feeling. And so your body moves you through the world. Your soul moves you through the world.
Yeah.
And so that's a strong sense in your body. And so that red light, green light for me is actually a body sense. And if I trust it 100%, I'd never make a bad decision. But, again, when you're in the dark night of the soul, you can get desperate. And people have a really good rap, you know, especially right now with, as you were saying, with the internet and how much we're flooded, people had to get their promotional raps down, making a lot of promises that nobody can actually keep. And
yeah,
a lot of people getting hurt, where if we listen to our body actually does know exactly which way we need to walk, what our path is, what we need to be doing. And so we need to learn how to shift our attention to where we're actually getting the best guidance.
Yeah. It's so it's a intuition is more feeling than seeing, and I totally get that. And I know you speak in your book about how the darkness is filled with exquisite teachings for, as you put it, the brave souls who are willing to let go and travel to the depths of their inner world to see what states of consciousness and ways of behaving need to be removed, transformed, accepted, acknowledged, or, and I love this term, discreated.
Yeah, I've been using that for years now. Yeah, it's What everybody has to understand is that the Dark Night of the Soul is a shamanic initiation. We're going through it personally right now, and we're going through it collectively on the planet. And so in the shamanic culture, people were put through initiations at some point in their life, typically around puberty, because in shamanic cultures, you had to shine your brilliance. You had to bring forth your unique gifts to be able to help the entire community survive. They didn't want to drag people along who had nothing to share or to add to the community. So you're going through a life-threatening initiation. You know, in a shamanic culture, these initiations were life-threatening. And your ego says, I don't know what to do. And your mind says, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to walk through fire. I don't know how to walk through fire. And so that's where your spirit wakes up. And the spirit part of yourself is a part of the creative forces of the universe. And so the creative forces of the universe created each and every one of us from unconditional love. And we were born from that love. And so that love lives inside of us all the time, and that's what we want to use to guide us.
Love is the way. That's a great statement for us to take our next break on, and this is Vicki Dobbs with Sandra Ingerman, and we will return in a few.
Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, this is Vicki Dobbs, and I'm back with Sandra Ingerman talking about her wonderful new book called Walking Through Darkness. And so we ended that last segment with, it's all about love. That's where we come from. That's how we walk through the darkness. And so one of the questions I had written for you is how does one find ways to travel through that darkness in, like you write, little steps forward and don't sit down?
Yeah, so I started learning the practice of shamanic journeying in 1980. And my second journey that I ever had, my helping spirit, who's a nature being, came to me and said, whatever happens in your life, don't sit down in the dark. And so that has stuck with me for the last 40-something years that he said that to me, because the term that's being used right now in the news is languishing. A lot of people are just getting into bed and putting the covers over their head. They don't know how to move forward, and they are sitting down in the dark, and that's not the best place. It's not the, it's not a place that really helps us. And so for me, sometimes the best I can do is lighting a piece of incense or lighting a candle, which reminds me of the power of spirit, and that's moving forward. So every time you can do a little thing, like lighting a piece of incense or lighting a candle, you're saying yes to life and that you're starting to move forward. And then maybe one day you go out and you sit on the ground and you watch the clouds, and you start to feel like the clouds are speaking to you and that you're getting a message. And you start to notice the sun, and you start to open your arms, and you feel sunlight feeding you. These are just little simple things. So what I find, one of my biggest challenges of working with clients over 43 years is when I ask them what they're passionate about doing, they don't know. And then what happens is they come up with the biggest plan where there's no way to get from step A to step B. It's too big of a leap. So I'm trying to always get people to do the smallest thing possible, like just going out for a walk for 5 minutes and noticing if you're getting a message from the wind, if you're feeling the wind stroking your hair, kissing your cheek, trying to make a connection with you. If you, again, start to see a shape in the clouds and that shape starts to speak to you, these are just really little things that get us moving, and we just have to get moving. We have to get out of bed, and we have to get moving, and we have to embrace life again, but really slowly so we don't get overwhelmed.
Right, right. It's one of those things that even today I find myself doing. Sometimes it's easier to just language in the covers or in my comfy chair rather than do something. And boy, when that energy sucks me in, I'm not much good for anything. It's I call it the funk. And it's getting out in the sunshine or, like you say, taking a walk. For me, sometimes it's just going out and sitting under the cottonwood tree that is outside my office, because cottonwoods have an amazing voice, and the rustle of their leaves often sounds like water. So for me, when that funk hits in my jammies or wherever, when I realize that I'm stagnant, I can take myself out and sit in my grandfather's old garden chair under the cottonwood tree. Yeah, that kind of brings me back to me. And I just really, that statement, don't sit down in the dark, really jumped out at me from your book. And yet, as much as we talk about how the darkness can be dense and heavy and difficult and hard and all the words that go that direction, you really are bring back into perspective beneficial aspects of the darkness, that that one really doesn't exist without the other.
Yeah, and the wonderful thing about walking through the dark night of the soul, and people do get this at some point while they're walking through the dark night of the soul, is that it's a place of silence. it's the place where you can go back in and remember who you are. So it's like setting a boundary. It's not a boundary that you maybe consciously set, but was set for you by the universe or by a deeper part of yourself to just stop, and get into a place of silence and remember who you are, because we're all giving ourselves away to what society is asking for us. And basically, the dark night of the soul is demanding that we find our spirit, we remember our spiritual identity, that we remember who we really are. And so it gives us a time out, and a time out in a place where there's no danger, where there's just learning, where you can just sink into yourself and sink into nature, who's always trying to gift you with the perfect medicine to keep you moving and to help you grow up and to help you remember why you actually came here, because we've kind of forgotten why we came here.
Yeah, and I think from your book, Speaking with Nature, as well as the one you wrote with Hank on Awakening to the Spirit World, when you take all three of these books and put them together, for me at least, it's like this guidebook for life almost.
Yeah. I try to do that with my books. And one of the things that I share with people is that I write books for myself. I actually write books that I need, and so I'm not so invested in how many people read them, because I actually wrote them for myself. And I'm just always thrilled when I hear how much they help other people at the same time.
Yes. They definitely have touched a big part of my world, so from that I say thank you, as we have to take our next break here. And when I come back, I'd love to talk with you about writing and shamanism and how someone might use writing as an aspect of their shamanic work and working with the power of nature. So with that note, we shall be back in a few minutes. This is Vicki Dobbs with Sandra Ingerman. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here for our last conversation with Sandra Ingerman. I'm your host, Vicki Dobbs. And Sandra, you have written so much on shamanism and the power of nature in our lives and the life of our planet. Does writing become a part of your shamanic practice? And if so, how do you use writing as an aspect of your own work?
I love to write. I've always loved to write. As a little kid, I would, every night before dinner, I would sit down in my bedroom at a little table, and I would write stories. I just always, always loved to write. And what happens to me when I started my first book, Soul Retrieval, I wrote longhand. It was before computers, and I actually every day brought my pages to somebody to type up for me. And then when computers came out, I thought, no, I'm not going to be able to write on a computer. I have to write longhand. That's the magic. Because when I write, it's not the spirits writing through me. I know a lot of people in shamanism channel the spirits when they write. I channel myself. I channel the deepest part of myself when I write, the deepest part of my wisdom. It's a place where my soul gets to express itself completely. And so, at first I thought, no, I'm not going to be able to do this on a computer. There's the magic of pen and hand and paper and touch. But I used to be a secretary, and so I type really fast. And one of my problems with handwriting a book is I can't write as fast as my soul is speaking to me.
Yep.
So I actually found that writing on a computer helped me. Because I could keep up with myself. But it is a way for me to bring through the deepest part of my soul, of what my soul is trying to express. And so in that way, it's such a deep part of my shamanic practice. And I teach automatic writing to people who want to learn how to use writing as a spiritual practice, of just putting some music on. I suggest that in walking through darkness a lot. And just taking out a piece of paper and putting a question on it, and then putting some music on and closing your eyes and just letting your hand write without watching what it's writing. And when you look at it, if you can read it afterwards, because you don't want to worry about what it looks like, you're shocked by what you expressed. You're amazed at what your own wisdom brought forth. It's really an amazing shamanic practice just to do some automatic writing.
Yes, yes. And I'm like you. I took typing in seventh grade, so I can type, and you have to teach yourself not to worry about whether or not you missed a letter or
right.
whatever. Don't
yes.
edit while you type. But
right.
I'm going back right now through 20 years of journals and struggling to decipher some of the handwriting, because you can see when I move out of my way and my soul is writing, the writing changes. And it's I love it. I've learned to journal when I'm journeying. I most of the time can't read it, but it keeps my my mind from trying to remember what I'm hearing and seeing,
right.
because my hand is recording it, so I'm free to just participate and listen.
Right.
So
yeah.
that's come up for me. And gosh, Sandra, I think I could talk to you for another 2 hours. I hope
right.
we can do this again soon. I'm just so grateful you said yes and that you were available to share your wisdom and your knowledge with us. It has been a real joy for me to read Walking Through Darkness because it's such a reminder of how we ourselves are powerful, joy-filled, love entities that have the ability to learn. And you offer so many fascinating things and tools and ceremony to help us in that walk through our darkest times. And I can't think of a more appropriate time in our lives when I want to just stand up and shout, hey, this is a book you need to read now. Take yourself out of the stuff in the world and give yourself a practical, useful tool to keep moving. Do you have anything else you'd like to share in the last couple of minutes we have here?
Yeah, I just wanted to say to everybody that we are in a challenging time, but this challenging time is leading us to actually remember the truth of who we are. So don't be afraid to allow yourself to really feel into yourself deeply and keep doing your ceremonial work and keep building a positive, beautiful landscape inside of yourself, because shamans are gardeners of energy, and whatever seeds we plant grow. So think about what seeds that you're planting in your life and make your inner landscape beautiful so that when you open your eyes, what all you're going to see is beauty around you too. And I send blessings to everyone and much love to everyone as we're all walking our journey to find our highest self again. So
thank you so much.
Thanks.
And please, everybody, check out Sandra's website. That's S-A-N-D-R-A-G-R-A-M. Whoops, I left the I-N out. Sandra Ingraman. SandraIngraman.com. And sign up for her transmutation newsletter. It's a bounty of inspiration that she's been putting out monthly for 20 years. And get your copy of Walking Through Darkness anywhere good books are sold. You won't regret it. Thank you so much for joining me today, Sandra. And
thank you,
remember
Vicki.
You bet. And remember to check out my website at VickiDobbs.com. And we're taking registrations now for a small intimate gathering in Arizona the 31st of May through June 2nd to come and write with the Whispers of the Wind. You can get all the details and register at VickiDobbs.com. Click on the events page. Our early bird pricing goes away in a few days, and we just have five spots left. So this is Vicki Dobbs, founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, reminding you that it's time for you to give yourself permission to be first in your world, to put you on your own calendar and choose you first. You have a right to be happy. Have a wonder-filled week traveling down happy trails till we meet again. May the blessings of abundance be upon you and your life and your world. And thanks for tuning in, guys. Talk to you next month.
Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.